And hello, and it's Friday, specifically the third Friday of the month, and so it's time for Elder Affairs here on WADK. And we have our steady, long-term, may I say favorite, Elder Yay. Affairs client, Dr. Jonathan Sporn and Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. Hello.
Hello, everyone out in Radio Land, listening to us on a Friday. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. And what wisdom about our feet and our general health are we going to have imparted to us today?
Gosh. Well, Stephanie brought up an idea. It's kind of a touchy one, but it's probably one that we should talk about, and that is when to get a second opinion. You know, a lot of us, we have our own specialties and things we like to do. We're not all specialists on everything, though, but we do have an innate sense or a gut feeling that tells us when something's right or something's wrong. And it's the same way in medicine. A lot of times you'll see a doctor and you'll kind of go down the road with them, and all of a sudden you're a month or two months into your treatment and things aren't getting better. You feel like you're just going into the office kind of, just take a number, sit down, how you doing? Get out, you know, not really getting any better. At that point, for sure, you should get the sense that this isn't the doctor for you or this isn't the treatment for you, and you really need to break human nature and set a new course. One of the biggest problems I think a lot of patients have with other physicians, not myself, of course,
but, of course,
is that they get into a rut. Human nature, most people, myself included, hate change. So if you see the same guy a couple times a year and he's a jerk and you're like, oh, whatever, you kind of just go with it because it's easier.
Well, and people, I think we have been conditioned to assume that doctors are right.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, obviously, if the guy's got the letters behind his name, he's put the time and effort into it, and you should have some, I guess the word's respect. But on the other hand, if you feel like you go in and the guys or gals not paying any attention to you, just sitting in the chair. They listen to your heart for a second. They'll take your blood pressure and you get a second to say something. And halfway through that second, they're already cutting you off. And then you walk out the door with a pat on the back saying, see you in 6 months. That's probably not the doc for you. You should really, you should look into someone else because it's your health. In the end, it's going to be you who's laying in the hospital bed because something was missed. Not the other guy.
Right.
And you really, it's like anything in life. If you let someone else take care of it, you know, they might not put the effort into it that they should. And it's definitely the way with doctors. You want a doctor who's going to, when you walk in the room, at least the way I am with my patients, I walk in, I look at them and I say, how you doing? And as time goes on, I really truly want them to be like a friend. I want to go in. I want to know, hey, how's your kid doing? What's going on there? I think when people feel that comfortable with you, you're going to get more out of them. If you walk into a room, hi, my name's John Saborin, what's going on? And they just bang it out. And about 3 seconds into it, you think you know what's going on. You cut them off and you start automatically treating them. You have to let people talk. There's so many times in a situation where, say, for instance, someone in my field comes in with some heel pain. And then after listening to them for a while, it's not the heel, it's the spine, or it's where they had their total knee done and the nerve got scarred in. You have to kind of, the doctor has to have the time and the capacity to listen to you. And if they don't over and over do that or consistently just run over you, you probably should find someone else. Another thing also too is if you're going in for a treatment and it's not getting any better. We've talked in the past about ulcers. Ulcers should be, you know, these wounds on any part of the body should heal up almost 50% in a couple of weeks. And it's so well documented that that is an instant lawsuit. If you had a wound for over a month and it hasn't changed in size and 50%, that's an easy home run for the heavy hitter or anyone else to take you to court. It's that's an effortless malpractice suit. And so if you are going and having someone look every week at your foot or leg or arm, and there's this, you know, I'm not going to pick on wound care, but this is a story about wound care in general, and they're just scratching away at the surface and you're not getting any better, you probably should get a second opinion. I specifically just brought up wound care because Stephanie talked about just a few minutes ago about a patient we had. He had been treated by multiple facilities for a wound on his leg that was nearly a foot long and about 6 inches wide. Huh. And, you know, we've talked in the past that wounds will heal if you, one, have enough blood supply, two, if you don't have any pressure on them, and three, if there's no infection. So when this gentleman came to me, I went through the list. I got some blood work. I sent him out to vascular, and he had plenty of blood. We did multiple cultures. We put him on rounds of antibiotic. We got the wound cleaned. And this wound was right in the middle of his leg, right between his ankle and his knee.
No pressure.
And so I knew something was wrong, even though he had been going to doctors for 2 years. Wow. Took a sample, and he had squamous cell cancer. Now he has no leg. Or is on his way to getting that. So listen to your heart. It's just like anything, whether it be relationship with a close friend or with your physician. Don't go into a rut. Just don't be like, well, he's my doctor. Yeah, he kind of stinks, but you know, what else am I going to do? There is a lot you can do. And in the end, as I said earlier, you're the one going to be lying on the bed with a problem that's been in your body for 3 years and no one put the time in or effort. They were just too bloody busy for you.
Dr. Sporn, you are an independent practitioner.
Yes.
Do you think that corporate medicine contributes to the lack of, I know, like, I had my primary care guy just retired.
Yeah.
And I really liked him. And I'm fortunate I am very healthy. There was really nothing
to do.
big to do. But I noticed from when he was in private practice to when they became part of a larger
group,
which I will not name, obviously, he felt more rushed. And he felt more, you know, and I've had doctors who, friends, tell me that, you know, they are told you've got 6 minutes for each patient.
Yeah, you've got to hustle. It's a conveyor belt. It cuts two ways. The way you're talking about, meaning the doc is now not able to, you know, be the commander of his ship. And if he sees a patient he needs to spend time with, he can't anymore. He's got to be like, I've got to see two patients every 15 minutes and bang, bang, bang. It also cuts the other way. Myself yesterday I had a situation where I had to go to the hospital, and the symptoms and problems I had, they set you up a track of treatments. And as a physician, you know, once one test is done, if that test is negative, then you stop that treatment protocol. But with corporate, the doctors get in big, big trouble. So, for instance, I had blood work done, and it came back negative. I had an ultrasound done, and it came back negative. But they still made me go for a CT with contrast, which really, I know as a physician, I didn't need, because all those other elements were negative. But I also know, and I know that hospital specifically, that if those doctors don't do that, they get called up to the, the penthouse, and they get hammered, and you're threatened with your job. And so, yeah, it cuts both ways. Corporate's very difficult, and I'm very, very, very fearful that in a very short period of time, there will be, I'll be the last of the Mohicans. The big groups come in and buy out, whether it be internal medicine, podiatry, ortho, their nationwide groups or hospital groups, and you'll be just another number, as will your patients.
Well, also, too, Dolores, is a lot of times, too, where Dr. Sivorn was saying earlier that, you know, we're following a treatment plan, you know, so that's fine and all, but a lot of times, especially now in this last year, from 2023 to today, insurance companies really have a chokehold around doctors. So if Dr. Sivorn sees a patient and say, I know immediately you need an MRI, the insurance company say, nope, 6 months of conservative treatment. Now this patient's going, well, I've been suffering for 6 months. And the insurance company says, well, we won't approve an MRI. You got to do a steroid. You got to do physical therapy. And Dr. Sivorn, who's very intelligent, will go, well, this treatment, you can't use physical therapy. It's not going to work. It's going to make it worse. So insurance companies, these big corporate insurance companies or what corporate whatever, are sitting here dictating doctors that are seeing the patients every day and treating the symptoms and looking in their face and saying, wow, you're in pain. You've been dealing with this for like 6 months. So insurance companies also are part of the problem.
Well, I have a friend who was told that you know, she has something going on with her back. She actually happens to be a foot patient of yours, too. But when she went to the orthopedic, he said, well, no, it isn't bad enough to get an MRI.
Yeah.
Now, the x-ray didn't show anything. There's something going on, but they won't pay for it. Now, she's never going to find out what's wrong with her back, probably, unless she gets the MRI. So it's, well, so we can sit here and complain, but as a patient, what are our options? What are our ways to combat the system,
if any? I think at least the simple thing of being happy with your primary care doc or any of the people on your health team, don't be complacent. If you're not getting somewhere with one of the people who are helping you get better, then you need to move on. There are other doctors. Don't say, well, it's a pain in the neck. I can't. You can, and you need to. Because God forbid, if you get some terrible terminal or some illness, you're going to have to find other doctors because that's the progression of this thing. So don't be complacent. Don't be stagnant. Be dynamic. If it doesn't feel right, change. If the doctor is not listening to you, change. And if you're not getting the answers or your doctor says, hey, your insurance company is not going to pay for this, then you have to advocate for yourself. You've got to get on the phone and you've got to blow maybe an hour of your life to talk to someone in Kansas and get what you're paying for, because if you don't, you're the one that's going to lose in the end. And that's really important. I just don't think people are doing that as much. They're just hoping that things will get better, or they're hoping that their insurance company will pay. Insurance companies right now aren't paying almost 47% of every claim put in because they know that no one's going to question it. If you get a denial, we've talked about this ad nauseum. If you get a denial, you need to call your insurance company and hammer them. It's the only way things are going to change. It's the only way. But I don't know if enough people know that.
Well, I know my son, about a year and a half ago, had some testing done, and I got this huge bill with no sign that any insurance had been paid.
Mm.
So I called the testing place. They said, so I called Blue Cross. They said, we will pay for this. We need the codes. So then I spent, I don't know how long, between the testing place and the doctor's office. And one would say the other, and I would say, I don't care who sends the codes. I want these codes because I pay for insurance for my son. I'm not going to pay $7,000 out of pocket. But again, I had to get on the phone. And it is just finally resolved almost 2 years later.
Oh, yeah.
But now the bill is $500 instead of
$7,000.
Yeah, some people would just be like, oh, I guess
I'm in collections. So.
The insurance isn't going to pay for it.
You really have to advocate. If you've ever listened to any of our shows, I always say you really have to advocate for your health care, because what happens is doctors' hands are tied to a certain extent. We can call and try to get certain things for you, but they're going to ultimately want to speak to the member because it's your insurance. And I always tell patients, too, when you get those big packets in the mail, read it. Read what your insurance covers. Go on your portals. If you have Harvard Pilgrim or Tufts, go on those portals and see what you're allowed. Just found out the other day I had to get an MRI, and if I get it done at a hospital or anything that's affiliated with a hospital, I have a $400 deductible. But if I go to a standalone, it's $200. So I drove to Brockton to Shields to get my MRI. So it's like you really have to do the dirty work, essentially, and advocate for yourself, because it's your insurance, and insurances are back in the day, Blue Cross was Blue Cross. Major Medical,
they pay for
remember
everything.
That?
Right.
Major Medical. It's not like that anymore. There's 45 different Blue Crosses just in the state of Rhode Island, minimum. And that's not the blue chip for Medicare plans. Everything's changing.
What about the, were you talking about with Medicare and Geico?
This is
unbelievable.
This is like, okay, so this is like, I could have my own show just doing this weekly.
Unbelievable.
It's really ridiculous. So insurance companies now, because they don't want to pay at all, they want to push it. They'll basically prevent the doctor from getting paid, and the member will have to pay, or the member will just, it'll go to collections or whatever have you. So they'll say that if Medicare sees that they can turf it off to someone else, if you had a car accident 3 years ago, didn't affect anything, had nothing to do with your foot, or you got a fender bender and just a claim was out there, Medicare will say, well, Geico is the primary payer. So I'll tell these patients this, and they look at me like, they're like, Stephanie, like, what do you mean? I had a car accident 20 years ago, and it was a fender bender, and it was resolved. I said, well, you must have said you injured something. Well, yeah, my arm. I said, well, they're not going to pay your foot claim. Well, that's ridiculous. I've never had this happen anywhere else. I said, well,
you've
got a call, and it's called a coordination of benefits. And essentially, they want you to get on the phone and just say, oh, yeah, I have your insurance. Yeah, I didn't have any slip and falls. No, I didn't fall at Walmart. No, I didn't get no car accident with Geico. No, it has nothing to do with my foot. And it takes, like, literally hours to do that.
Yeah.
And this being elder affairs, I think we need to bring it into as people get older.
Yes.
Well, this is Medicare. Yeah.
Right,
so,
Medicare.
Yeah.
So it's really important. Right, no, and it's but in all of these things, as people get older, they are more likely to feel, well, my doctor must be right, even though he's not doing anything for me. Or their kids might be saying, well, Mom, it's you. But so, and trying to go through these 50-page documents
to
get
awful.
Sent.
Yeah.
Or spend the 2 hours on the phone. Mm. Not everyone is as dogged as I. Mm. But, you know, so I think if you're older and you're having this, maybe you need to talk to your adult kids and say, can you help me with this?
Or, and also, too, like, we're super, because we are what we are, as everyone knows, you know, we're happy to help our patients to a certain extent. So my best advice to anyone that's listening today, if you ever have to call an insurance company, always get a date that you called and something called a reference number. A reference number is either going to be the super long numeric, or it's going to be a person's name with their last initial and the date of the call. Anytime you call an insurance company, always get a reference number, because when you go back to your primary, like with you, with your son, you're back and forth with the doctor and the insurance and the lab and all that. They're going to say, I need a reference number to push it through our billing, because the billing's going to call and all of these places are not onshore anymore. They're offshore. So they're not going to hold. Insurance companies are very shifty these days. They are very vague and they don't want to give you the correct information. And, you know, get a reference number. So that way you can reference back that call and you can tell the doctor's billing, hey, this is the reference. They said they're going to pay the claim. They say that these are the CPT codes, are the codes that, you know, for your son's labs. This is what you do. Because if you don't get a reference number, oh, I was on the phone with Medicare. They said it's all set. We'll push it through the billing. Billing go, yeah, they deny it again. So we'll just sit in a denial. We have people that are sitting in denial for years. It's like, because insurance companies don't want to pay claims. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's really sad. But yeah, be careful. And also be careful too, not trying to scare anyone, because I'm not like that. But also be careful with these Medicare Advantage plans, because we had a couple of patients, I'm not going to say the insurance, but a couple of patients where the reps happily go to your house and say, oh, you're going to get no copays and you're going to get no out-of-pocket expense. Or, yeah, this is just for your RX plan, your prescription plan. And then it comes to find out, I had one guy who was like almost in tears in our office the other day with a bill. Can't afford to pay it. And he's like, Stephanie, I can't afford to pay this. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. We'll take care of it for you. Because the insurance company lied to him and told me he was going to have no out-of-pocket expense. Not only does he have an out-of-pocket expense, but he has a high out-of-pocket expense. Those Medicare Advantage plans. Stuff. And if you need help, don't they have those little, your friends at the AARP Medicare?
I was just going to say, AARP, they are there for you for Medicare and for many other things.
Yes.
Go to find a senior center that,
yes,
sign an AARP. Find someone, hopefully a family member, but someone to help you, because
agreed,
they will eventually pay if you stick at them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to haunt them.
It's, right.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of a few minutes here, any cold weather foot issues, anything particular that besides not falling in the ice?
Yeah, again, we're seeing it again this year. The winters now are funny. They'll have 5 days where it's 45 degrees, and then we'll get three that are 20. And people will wear the same shoes. And I'm seeing the damage to the skin, the chilblains, the early frostbite, purple toes with deep purple dots in them, because people are out there in their sneakers thinking it's no big deal. It is a big deal. And once you get that problem, it doesn't really go away, and you're predisposed to not only pain but ulcers. So wintertime, start in November, start wearing shoes that maybe are leather or enclosed. Do yourself a favor, because as we get older and the blood supply weakens, the damages to our skin are much easier to come by. So that's probably the most important.
I was out with my dog in the valley in Middletown this morning, and it was in the 20s. And there was a gentleman out in shorts.
Yeah.
And I thought, well,
a lot of lunatics.
Yeah. I thought, and his legs are becoming bright red. Well, it's a macho thing. I don't know. You don't see women out in shorts. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little chicken legs. I don't need them turning purple.
Any other concerns of winter foot care? I mean,
moisturize. You know, if your skin's dry, the more apt it's going to tear. So if you're running through the house and you catch a corner of a chair, it's going to really damage your skin. So the more you moisturize, the more apt it's going to heal, the quicker it's going to heal. So that's moisturize and shoes that are
good
protective.
Boots. We won't mention your pet peeve about those boots.
There's no support in them. But, you really need to. It's winter, just like when you're a kid and your mother would yell at you for leaving the house wearing something foolish. It's still the same. You know?
Gotta yell at yourself.
Common sense. That's right.
Well, again, it's always great talking with you guys. Let's give the where they can find you, so the doctors who care.
Sure. Coastal Foot and Ankle. We have two locations. We have one in Fall River, 1822 North Main Street, in our beautifully renovated mill facility. And we are also on a very bustling Aquidneck Avenue, 850 Aquidneck Avenue. We're in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza, 849-2157. And also, again, like I told our friend Bruce yesterday on air at the health fair, come be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. We'd love to have you.
Where they pick up the phone.
Yes, we do.
Or when you call, people talk to you.
Yep.
Our cheery staff, Crystal, Ashley, Maggie, and myself.
You do not have to yell into the phone, no, I don't want to go online. If I wanted to go online, I would have.
You don't have to punch one, two, or three.
No, you call Coastal Foot and Ankle, and you, as Stephanie says in her commercials, you get a live person.
You do.
Well, thank you. Another informative show. We do try on Elder Affairs to address all kinds of issues that affect people who are older, from medical to their financial responsibilities of medical. So thank you again, and we will see you next month.
Awesome.